This is Logan Sekulow sitting in for my dad today as the primaries wind down, the VP debate picks up.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
Will your vice presidential choice definitely be a Republican?
Yes, that's true.
Will it be an elected official?
Most likely, and it will be probably a person with political experience. I would like to have somebody that could truly be good with respect to dealing with the Senate, dealing with Congress, getting legislation passed, working toward something where we're not signing executive orders every 3 days like President Obama does.
I'm starting to think about it very soon, and we'll be vetting people. You know, I'm going to set up a committee, and I may put Ben Carson on the committee. I may put Chris Christie on the committee.
I also saw something that you said about John Kasich.
Well, I've had a good relationship with him, and, you know, I really got along with him pretty well. I would say probably it's unlikely that it'll be John. I'm not sure that John even wants it.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
He has given no indication that he understands the gravity of the responsibilities that go with being commander-in-chief. And that will be a big part of my campaign, because at some point, he's going to have to be held to the standard we hold anybody running for president and commander-in-chief. What is it you know? What is it you've done? What is it you are proposing to do as president and commander-in-chief? So far, we haven't seen any of that.
I've seen the presidency up close from two different perspectives, and I think I know what it takes. And I don't think we can take a risk on a loose cannon like Donald Trump running our country.
And now, your host.
Hey, this is Logan Sekulow. See, they don't even have my name recorded yet, so it's just your host. This is Logan Sekulow sitting in for my dad. It's just me today. This is going to be a lot of fun. If you want to be a part of this conversation, get in early. I'm going to be taking lots of calls today, because I need your help today, too, to make this show great today. 1-800-684-3110. We're talking about the vice presidential pick. Hello to everyone on Facebook and Periscope. You can be a part of the conversation over there as well. As it feels weird, guys. It feels weird to say that the primaries are essentially over. The fact that we have a presumptive nominee on the GOP side, and pretty close to a presumptive nominee on the Democratic side, it feels odd. It feels like it was almost something that would never end. It was such a long process. So many people in, so many people slowly making their way out of this entire debacle to end up still with Donald Trump, the person who came in as the front runner and left number one when a lot of people thought it was over. And I think even Donald Trump felt that way. Let's go to bite one.
I'm even surprised by it. I thought that I'd be going longer.
Yeah, I think a lot of people weren't expecting to end. There was all that talk about a contested convention and all of these things. It just panned out to be absolutely nothing. It got to the point where Ted Cruz and John Kasich couldn't realistically have a point. They couldn't probably raise enough money to move on. And they had to wrap it up earlier this week. And it is what it is, folks. And we're dealing with a situation. Now, if you were the pick, if you were Donald Trump, I want to know who you would like to see as the vice presidential candidate. You could do that by giving us a call. 1-800-684-3110. It's also the National Day of Prayer today. You can find a lot of information about that on ACLJ.org, the situation that we had to come to defend. We'll talk about that later in the show. Also, Matthew Clark was on CBN News. We'll be talking about that as well. I think it was CBN News. Yeah. He's on CBN News. He has some information about that. He's a senior attorney at the ACLJ. And he kind of went over that. We'll talk about that later on. But again, 1-800-684-3110. You can also join us in a various different ways now. And Will Haynes is in the studio with me as well. And he's going to be taking a lot of the comments from Facebook and Periscope today. He's also going to be getting me the news as it breaks. Because yesterday we started the show, John Kasich, the news leaked out that he was dropping out, 10 minutes before the show went on the air?
Right before we went live.
So we're always monitoring. We're watching all the news sources, 5 or 6 TVs in here, making sure we're getting all the latest going on, and obviously off the wire as well. But you can be a part of that discussion. The phone lines are completely lit up, but you can join us on Facebook. Search for Jay Sekulow, or just go to facebook.com/Jay Sekulow. Periscope, go to Jay Sekulow, at Jay Sekulow. You can find us there. You can watch and be a part of the show. Thousands of people do each and every day. It's a great way to interact with like-minded and sometimes not so like-minded people and have a really great discussion and debate during the hour. All right, so that's what you got. Facebook, Periscope. Also, just so you know, later on, after you've seen the show, if you want to watch it again or other shows, you can now get the ACLJ app on Apple TV and Roku devices, and the Jay Sekulow Live podcast available on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. We'll be right back.
When it comes to protecting your Christian beliefs and constitutional freedoms, the American Center for Law and Justice is at the forefront, in the courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. Now more than ever, you need the American Center for Law and Justice on your side. At the direction of Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow, the American Center for Law and Justice is countering organizations like the ACLU. The ACLJ has been called, quote, the leading advocacy group for religious freedom by one of the nation's most influential publications. Now you can make a difference. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ than right now. Declare your membership today. The ACLJ is dedicated to protecting your religious and your constitutional freedoms. Call now 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or online at aclj.org.
Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic: How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. Probably the first time Alice Cooper has been on the Jay Sekulow Live broadcast. Okay, Alice Cooper, deep man of faith. And a bit of a fun cartoon character like live, but that's the song Elected. And that is kind of how it feels. We're at this point now where we know who is going to be the presumptive, we know who are the presumptive nominees. Even the GOP said it. They you know, Rice Priebus tweeted out and said that night on Tuesday night and said pretty much for all the Never Trump people, deal with it. He is our presumptive nominee. We have a lot of calls coming in and I want to take them because I want to hear what people have to say. Let's go to Margie. Tulsa, Oklahoma. You're on the air, Margie.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling.
I'm thinking for Vice President that Jeff Sessions would be good because didn't he stand with Donald Trump in a lot of his policies?
Sure. Jeff Sessions, I think a lot of people, and Will can maybe test this, was a bit of a surprise when he came out and endorsed him. Not that, you know, like you said, some of his policies may align with him, but the entire state of Alabama definitely turned out for Donald Trump. I mean, those early rallies, remember, there were
30,000, I believe, in Mobile.
Showing up to those like arenas full of people. It was unbelievable. So, yeah, I mean, I think that'd be a interesting pick. And again, a lot of these people are friends of this broadcast, friends of the ACLJ. Jeff Sessions, certainly a friend to us. So you can say we can't, I don't even know if we can oppose and endorse a vice presidential pick, but we can say it's Jeff Sessions. I think that's a good call. The question is because he endorsed Donald Trump, do you need someone who maybe can bring in a different point of view, can bring in a different set of values, bring in a state that matters? Jeff Sessions, Alabama, largely a red state for the most part. You know, we could probably look back at over time, Southern Democrats. I'm sure there were times where it went blue. But for the most part, not a big swing state. And that's where the talk of a Rubio comes in or somebody who can bring in Florida, bring in different kinds of votes. And maybe bring in something else. Let's go ahead. I'm going to take at least another call for a moment here. Let's go to Ken, who is calling from the great state of California. You're on the air.
Okay. Yeah. Hey, I had two comments. The first one I'll do real quick was Hillary Clinton. Just because she's been in two administrations with her husband and Obama doesn't mean that she's qualified and a leader to be president. And the second one, my pick, I would say Martinez, New Mexico, because she's a good governor for the state. She is a woman, respected by women and Hispanics, and I think that would help.
All right, Ken. Well, first, I think let's go ahead. You mentioned that Hillary you didn't think was necessarily someone who you thought could be qualified to be president. Look, I think if you look at her pure record when it comes to the job she's held, you know, you can't necessarily say Donald Trump is more qualified when it comes to dealing with governments or international affairs. You can say you disagree with her, and I think a lot of us would. But, you know, I'm not sure if I'm with you or Ken, but let's go ahead and hear from Hillary Clinton herself. Let's go to Bite 9.
I've seen the presidency up close from two different perspectives, and I think I know what it takes. And I don't think we can take a risk on a loose cannon like Donald Trump running our country. I think when he says women should be punished for having abortions, that is, you know, just beyond anything that I can imagine. I think most women can imagine.
He did walk that back.
Well, he's a loose cannon. I think it's a risk. I think he is a loose cannon, and loose cannons tend to misfire.
Well, you can probably see where what the buzzwords are for Hillary Clinton. I believe loose cannon will be her campaign phrasing throughout this entire thing. We're already seeing the gloves start coming off. And look, when it comes down to it, not to necessarily defend Donald Trump with the abortion stance, we talked about on this broadcast. You know, he was put with the hypothetical of if abortion was illegal, should the person who had the abortion be punished? And I think in general, the idea was, well, yeah, if you break a law, there should be some form of, repercussion for breaking a law. It was a gotcha question. It was something that he probably didn't expect. It was an odd question, but will be definitely used against him in this coming debate. Now, you also mentioned Susana Martinez, and Will, I think you have something to say about that.
That's right. She's actually been a very popular person to talk about as far as a vice presidential pick, even before Donald Trump was the presumptive nominee. She's very well respected as a governor of New Mexico. New Mexico has gone blue for the past six elections, or actually five of the last six elections. So it could be a potential for anyone. That's kind of what the talk was. Anyone could use her to their advantage to maybe pull a state red instead of blue. She is the first female governor of New Mexico and also the first Hispanic governor in the entire nation. So I think a lot of the talk around Donald Trump may be picking someone like her, even though she's been a little negative about some of the comments Donald Trump had earlier in the campaign. It could do a really big job of moving her, moving the ticket maybe a little bit more soft on some of those issues and kind of bringing in a different demographic.
Yeah, I don't mind that one at all. I think there's going to be a lot of discussion about this. A lot of people, I'm seeing a lot of Facebook comments and things like that about Gary Johnson, who is the Libertarian candidate, I believe.
Well, the Libertarian Party hasn't officially selected him yet, but he is the front runner to be selected at their convention. They don't vote in the primary sense. They just selected.
And again, we don't, even if it's a third party, we don't endorse or oppose. But go look at Gary Johnson's record and tell me you're actually lining up with that more than you are with someone even like a Donald Trump. Because of the fact that you're saying someone who is, you know, soft on the life issues, soft on a lot of things, religious liberties issues, things that you may hold dear to you, but you're saying this libertarian sticker put on him and thinking that it connects with you. Do your research. I would say do some research and tell me, you know, if he wants to come on the show, we'd love to have him. Same with Donald Trump, same with Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders at this point. And hopefully we'll have them all on as the shows continue. And like I said, there's just a lot of people who are generally frustrated. There's still talk. I think finally it's kind of calmed down. People realize they're dealing with what they have to deal with. And speaking of which, let's go ahead and take another call. Let's go to Vicky, who's calling in Colorado. Vicky on line six. You're on the air.
Yes.
Yes, go ahead.
I think Ben Carson would be a good vice president.
All right. Why do you think that?
He's calm, cool, collected. He's not rash, and he's humble. And be a perfect component for President Trump. And they both have brains.
We know he has. Thank you, Vicky. We know that he has been selected as the guy who's kind of in charge of the vice presidential committee, right, Will?
That's right. It was announced yesterday, actually, that Ben Carson will play that role in selecting and vetting potential vice presidential nominees along with Donald Trump. The interesting thing about that is, you know, your first reaction is maybe that takes him out of the running for it. But back in 2000, George W. Bush had, at the time he wasn't vice president, but Dick Cheney was in that role and ended up actually being selected as the vice presidential pick.
Yeah, so sometimes that's a rumor. Sometimes that's a way that you could get yourself in there. Now, this is going to be a very swing state-centered general election. And I think that is something that we're going to have to see. And I don't know if Ben brings you some of that. I love him, and I think he'd be a great choice, and he's a friend of our family's. I mean, I love him as a person. You know, he's not something that I necessarily endorse or boast. But, you know, he's been a friend of our family for years, and I think he would be, you know, a good, from a actual vice presidential role, I think he'd do a great job. But it does seem like Trump has very much said it's going to be somebody who has had government experience, who isn't a private sector, isn't a, like Dr. Carson, hasn't had any prior political experience. So I think, I don't necessarily put him out of the running, but I think it's very unlikely. He has mentioned some choices, like whether it'd be Rubio or whether you'd hear Kasich. We even heard that in the intro. He said, well, would it be Kasich? I don't know if Kasich wants it, but maybe it would be. You know, they're friendly. And I think we'll see that in a Facebook video we actually did. And let's actually go to a should we go to this clip here? Well, let's go to this clip. Number four. This is with Donald Trump. Joe Kernan on CNBC talking to Donald Trump.
Will it be from that group of people that also ran for president?
Well, I would say probably a 40% chance within the group. I've gotten to be friends with a lot of those people, and I guess perhaps enemies with a couple, but I've gotten to be friends with quite a few, and I would say there's a good 40% chance.
Yeah, 40% chance. Odd choice of wording. I wonder how you come up with that, 40% chance. Is he looking at a group of 10 and being like, well, four of them are kind of how I'm feeling, maybe one of those guys? It's an odd decision to do. Yeah, someone said do math, Logan. I'm not doing math. I'm not going to try to. I'm not Scott Steiner in it this time. I don't really feel like that's necessarily the case. I think we're going to see someone. There's a good chance we'll see one of those people that was up on stage. And the reason being is because he's going to need someone who's going to hopefully pull in a more traditional conservative, as we're seeing a large group of people saying they're never going to vote for him. And, you know, for those people that are saying they're never going to vote for him, we do want to encourage you to say vote. If you don't want to vote for Donald Trump, that's your choice. But make sure you still get out there and vote. There's a lot of Democrats who are saying they're never going to vote for Hillary Clinton. So there's a good chance those just cancel each other out. We're still back to where we were. Hopefully, you know, we'll have a very interesting and entertaining few months ahead. We'll be back in just a moment, but I did want to thank everyone. You know, we had that big campaign in April. Went well over. And we couldn't have done it without you all. But you can also still become a member of the ACLJ, be part of what we're doing here. Easiest way to do it, ACLJ.org. Easy domain term, ACLJ.org. You can go there. You can go there, be part of it, donate, look at petitions, watch videos, fully feature films that we provide for you guys each and every year. Have a new one coming out, Abortion Inc., in the coming months that I think you're all going to really enjoy and hopefully be enlightened by. And we do that right here in the media center of the ACLJ. So check that out. We do have a full bank of calls right now, but we'll be taking more calls as we move on. We'll be right back on JSEC Your Life.
Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic, How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government. When it comes to protecting your Christian beliefs and constitutional freedoms, the American Center for Law and Justice is at the forefront, in the courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. Now more than ever, you need the American Center for Law and Justice on your side. At the direction of Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow, the American Center for Law and Justice is countering organizations like the ACLU. The ACLJ has been called, quote, the leading advocacy group for religious freedom by one of the nation's most influential publications. Now you can make a difference. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ than right now. Declare your membership today. The ACLJ is dedicated to protecting your religious and your constitutional freedoms. Call now 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or online at aclj.org.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live, a little MXPX for you guys. Kind of mix it up. By mixing up, I mean, for me, it's going back, instead of, you know, the Jay Sekulow band goes back, let's say, 30 years on their music, I go back 20 years on my music because, you know, I'm a kid that grew up in the 90s, so got to have some 90s rock in there. A little MXPX with Teenage Politics, and that's what we're talking today as the debate starts to heat up for who will be the vice presidential pick. Someone just said that they can tell we're in charge because of the music pick today. You know what? It's a fun day whenever they say, Logan, you're going out there by yourself. It's always good because then we can have some fun and do things a little different. This is the last segment, the first 30 minutes of the show. You can continue to listen after this segment, which still got about 10 minutes, by logging over to Facebook, Periscope, ACLJ.org, and being part of discussion for the whole hour. But I'll make sure that you know the reason it doesn't sound like we wrap up the show is because we have a whole extra half hour. But we got a full bank of calls, and I want to take them. Let's go to Donna, who's calling from Maryland. Donna, thanks for holding.
Hi.
Hi.
Giving my love and my support to Donald Trump. I believe Donald Trump is the change that has come to America. I believe Donald Trump will expose all the evils in the Senate and the Congress, first with treason. I believe 99% of the members of the Congress and the Senate have committed treason.
What percentage of that, Donna?
Treason.
No, what percentage is it? 90-something percent?
I believe it's 99%.
99%. Well, Donna, like I have no problem with you supporting Donald Trump or supporting whoever you want to support, whether it's Donald Trump, Bernie Sanders, or Hillary Clinton, or Gary Johnson. It's your choice. But I don't know if 99% of them have committed treason. That's kind of a look, I'll be honest with you, Donna. That's some of the reason why I think people have some issues with Trump and issues with Trump supporters, because these blanket statements that are not just not true, are, you know, are exaggerated to the point of it being kind of comical. And look, I appreciate you calling in and listening to this broadcast, but, you know, there's some really great people involved in our government, and a lot of them help out here at the ACLJ all the time. So don't make this a one-issue thing. Listen to what we talk about each and every day.
And a lot of times it's not things that are in the media that these congressmen and senators are doing that are behind the scenes. They really are doing their job in a lot of cases to make the country a better place and to make sure that your freedoms are protected.
All right, let's move on, get some more calls before this half hour wraps up. Dennis in Mobile, Alabama. You're on the air.
Hey, man, glad you're having fun today.
Thanks, Dennis.
I really like Sessions, but I think he's more valuable in the Senate.
Yep.
I think Trump's going to need to pick somebody in a swing state, like maybe Rick Scott.
Sure.
Florida or something like that.
Yeah, Rick Scott's come up a good bit. Oh, go ahead. Continue.
Yep. Ben Carson is awesome, but I think he's Secretary of Health and Human Services.
Yeah, I think you're.
I think that's his alley, and I'd love to see either Alan West or General Mattis, a retired Marine Corps general, as Secretary of Defense, and the other one be the National Security Advisor.
Yeah, I think we're going to be surprised at how many people agree with these cabinet positions. I think it's going to be people that you're going to be familiar with, and people that he's always talked about that. You know, he's going to put the best of the best and the experts and the best people you've ever heard, and they're going to be great, and they're going to be awesome. I think they will be. I think he'll pick some really good people if he makes his way to the presidency. When it comes down to Rick Scott, I'm a sort of transplant Floridian. Rick Scott has, as much as he gets flack, man, he has a big supporter group in Florida, and, I mean, had a huge win this last time. So I think that would be not necessarily a bad choice. I don't know if he brings in anything but Florida, but he's an interesting choice. Did he endorse? He kind of soft endorsed Donald Trump
after the primary. It wasn't before, so it didn't necessarily happen.
He hinted at it before.
Correct. Yeah.
All right. Let's at least try to take it. Are any comments coming in? Let's see if there's any good comments coming in for Facebook. Might as well engage because you can be a part of Facebook as well. Who do I think? This is from Sarah. Who do you think will be the vice presidential candidate? Your guess is as good as mine. I don't think I have any more choices. I don't think I think Rubio would be a logical choice. I think Kasich could be a choice as well. But Rubio, someone like the last caller said, someone that can bring in a swing state. I think that's that could be a big deal. And some people are calling for Ted Cruz to VP, would unite the party. That's from Stacy. Stranger things have happened in politics, but there's some pretty nasty rhetoric between Cruz and Trump. Some things I'm not sure you can come back from and be like, oh, now we're best friends. And, you know, that is also a misconception that the vice president has to be good friends with the president. We know for a fact in the past that's not necessarily the case. You pick who's best for the country and who's best for your ticket, not necessarily who you're the best buddy with. I don't believe John McCain had a long-lasting relationship with Sarah Palin before, but it was a strategic move.
Even Ronald Reagan and George H.W. Bush, they weren't necessarily great friends, but they did come together after what was, for the time, a fairly nasty political season with a lot of rhetoric back and forth and a slamming of other people's policy ideas. They were able to come together and what many people believe is one of the greatest presidencies in a time of prosperity in the nation because they were able to come together and get over some of their differences that they had in the primary season.
Yeah. And we have heard some words from George W. Bush, George H.W. Bush. People kind of pressed them to make statements and about supporting Trump or supporting anyone on the Republican ticket. And both of them kind of said in a very light way, not in a we're against Donald Trump or we're against what happened or the election, but we are kind of staying out of it. And I think George W. Bush is, you know, we can get the exact statements, but I think George W. Bush is more was on the fact of, hey, I supported my brother. That's the only reason I really got into this. And then the next statement, I think George H.W. Bush, they said he's 90. Kind of leave him alone. He's not really going to be engaged in the political process. They're going to help out their son, but that's about as far as it's going to go. And that's not surprising. I think people, they're making that to be big news. And it is, I guess, the Republican presidents that are living and are not out there on the campaign trail. But I don't think it's something they would have been expected. I would have expected to see it anyway. Let's try to take one more call before we go and wrap up this segment of JSecio Live. Let's go to Joel in Augusta, Georgia. You're on the air.
Hey, this election is starting to stink for a lot of young people out there, especially since Trump just became presumptive nominee. And also, Jay mentioned something about writing in candidates.
Sure.
Can you explain that process more in depth?
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty simple, Joel. If this being your first election, I know that can be confusing, the fact that you can write in. But when you go in to vote, and I voted in Georgia before, so assuming it's similar to when I was a Georgia resident, on your probably computer screen, they'll give you an option of your major parties, some of your minor parties, and then a place where you can write in whoever you want. And they'll click write in, and they'll come up with a keyboard. You type in who you feel like is best. Now, Joel, that being said, the likelihood of that doing anything other than making you feel better, this is just being honest, is pretty low. And yes, you can write in, and people can write in whoever they want to write in. You can write in me for president. You can write in yourself for president. But, you know, it's not like it's going to be making this massive change worldwide. Not to say it couldn't in the future, but currently very difficult to even make a blip on the radar. But yeah, Joel, so maybe if you want to do it and stand up, you want to vote, and a lot of people are saying this, you want to vote, but you don't want to vote for one of the two major parties or some of even the minor parties that'll be on, you can just write in. You can pick whoever you want to write in the country. As long as they're eligible, not even they're eligible, but people write in Mickey Mouse. How many times they always say, like, hundreds of people vote for Mickey Mouse every year. So it's just to make a statement. But hopefully for those first-time voters, if you are a first-time voter, that's interesting. I'd like to hear from you today. Call in if you're not, but I'd like to hear if you are, and make sure to tell the phone screener you are. 1-800-684-3110. 1-800-684-3110 to be a part of that discussion. A lot of calls right now. But if you want to be part of that show, this show is on, if you're not listening on SiriusXM or some of the stations carry the full hour, JSecio Live, you can continue to a couple different ways. Facebook, you can engage and comment. Your comments may make it on the air. Facebook.com/JSeculo. You'll see it's the latest post. We're live right there. Periscope, search for JSeculo. And over on ACLJ.org, a live television style broadcast, multi-camera. Those really just me and Will, so only a couple cameras today. And be a part of the ACLJ. You can support us by heading over to aclj.org. Find out all the information you need right there. We'll be right back.
Now you can make a difference. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ than right now. Declare your membership today. The ACLJ is dedicated to protecting your religious and your constitutional freedoms. Call now 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or online at aclj.org.
back to Jay Sekulow Live. For those who are just joining us, this is Logan Sekulow subbing in for my dad and brother today. Will Haynes is in the studio with me as well. We're having some fun today talking about the vice presidential pick, who it could possibly be, as we have presumptive nominees. And that's obviously really a presumptive nominee on the Republican side and pretty darn close on the Democratic side. I think most people would. If you were a betting person, I think you'd probably be betting on Hillary Clinton to take that. And it's an interesting time. Look, it's an interesting time we live in. We just had a first-time caller who called in that first half hour, our first-time voter, who needed some processes. It makes sense to him because he was not happy with the choices that he's going to have. And I think that's going to be true for a lot of people. And I think there'll be a lot of people that will rally around their parties. And that should just be an interesting discussion in general. You can join us on Facebook and Periscope, be a part of that discussion over there as well, as the lines are jammed. So let's go ahead and take some calls. Geneva is calling from Boston, Mass. Line 2. Geneva's holding 30 minutes. Geneva, I think I'm allowed to send you an autographed book. I'll send you an autographed book of one of my dad's books by him, not by me. You're not getting his book autographed by me. You'll get it by him. Stay on hold when you're done with the comment. But go ahead, Geneva.
Okay. Hi, Logan. And I like your choice of music today. It's
thanks.
Fun. Anyway, I doubt that Ted Cruz would want to be Donald Trump's running mate.
Yep.
But I do see him as possible a candidate for the Supreme Court. I think he would make really fantastic justice.
Sure. I think that's not a bad thought, Geneva. I think that clearly someone who's very well qualified. Now, the vetting process or the what's the process called? Like
The confirmation process
is a little harder. It's like if my people, I said to my dad, well, you'd be a great Supreme Court justice. Well, he's taken so many different, very definitive views on issues. Sometimes it's a little harder to get confirmed. But the question is what kind of, my dad brought this up yesterday. With Hillary Clinton, we have a pretty decent idea knowing who will potentially be a Supreme Court nominee. Not the person, but the kind of person, the values they represent. With Trump, you may be taking a risk, but is that risk worth the payoff? Because the fact that you may have someone who is more in line. I know he mentioned people in his conversations, Bill Pryor, some people that were friendly with us in debates that, would definitely line up with the positions that we hold in our hearts and in for our policy. And I think that could be an interesting thing. So, Geneva, where I don't disagree with you that Cruz could be very good. Obviously, Supreme Court attorney, very well qualified. But I don't necessarily know if that's something that is a viable process. And I think what's interesting, and this even comes down to it, like the IRS cases that have come up. Well, Cruz is very definitive on those. He's in our movie. If you go watch the movie we made, Tax Invasion, you can find that for free, irsmovie.com. Cruz is in it. Ben Carson is in it. A lot of the people, Rand Paul is in it. A lot of the guys who were the nominees or were the potential nominees this time around who are running and from the last time around are in the film. And you can get it actually also on the new ACLJ apps, which you can get on Roku or on Apple TV. And you can watch all our films there. They're all free and they're all available. And you're able to watch a whole slew of them right there. It's a great way to engage and see what we're doing here at the ACLJ from a different point of view. But that movie, he draws a line in the sand for sure about the IRS. So that's the kind of issues I think we'll have to see that maybe I think you're right, but whether that's something that's even feasible. We only got a minute left in this segment. The segment flew by. It's the short segment. I like it. I like it. Less pressure on me to fill the shoes. But we are going to be taking a lot of calls coming up. This has been a rapid-fire show, and I want to continue doing it that way. The lines are jammed right now, but some will open up. 1-800-684-3110. Be a part of the ACLJ. Also, different ways you can do that, but the easiest way, aclj.org. You can find out all our information there. Become a member. You're great. Emails that come in each and every day. We do part of this conversation in a new and different way. Let's make it two-way, not just one-way. ACLJ.org, be a part of the American Center for Law and Justice. Again, we'll be taking calls and comments related to this vice presidential debate. And who knows what the next song is that's going to be our bump in. It's always fun here when I'm hosting. Will's at the con. It's going to be a fun day. All right, we'll be right back with more. Jay Sekulow Live in just a moment.
When it comes to protecting your Christian beliefs and constitutional freedoms, the American Center for Law and Justice is at the forefront, in the courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. Now more than ever, you need the American Center for Law and Justice on your side. At the direction of Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow, the American Center for Law and Justice is countering organizations like the ACLU. The ACLJ has been called, quote, the leading advocacy group for religious freedom by one of the nation's most influential publications. Now you can make a difference. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ than right now. Declare your membership today. The ACLJ is dedicated to protecting your religious and your constitutional freedoms. Call now 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or online at aclj.org.
Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic: How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government.
Mid-90s here. I'm Jay Sekulow live again. I like it. Jesus Freak, obviously DC Talk, making some kind of announcement. Who knows what it'll be? Our friends in Michael, Toby, and Kevin, so we should see what happens. I know that made my Facebook page exploded, knowing that something is going on with DC Talk, so it's an exciting time. Obviously, a group that many consider to be almost like the Beatles of Christian music, announcing something after a long hiatus, decade and a half long hiatus, so we should see what that is next week. But that's not what we're talking about today. We're talking politics as usual, but a little bit different. We're talking about who you think is going to be the vice presidential pick, and hey, Will brought this up too. Who do you think Hillary could pick as well? Are you going to see someone more to the left of her? Because some of these people come in and think she's too centered, so too centrist, And I kind of brought this up, and I'd like to hear from you about this too, is there's definitely some clear differences between Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton, but not as many as usual. Usual, it's the strong conservative, the strong liberal. And right now, we're kind of hitting two candidates that kind of straddle the middle. Obviously, his rhetoric is different, and some of the ways he talks about, obviously, building the wall and those kind of things are different. But you do have some of the issues you care deep about. They may kind of share some of those values. So I'm curious your thoughts about that as well as we take on the second half hour of the broadcast. Let's go ahead and try to get through some of these calls and move on. Let's go to who's been on hold the longest. Tom in the Twin Cities, Minnesota. Love that area of the country. Tom, you're on the air.
Do you think he's considering Sarah Palin?
I would not expect that, Tom. She obviously did endorse him, but we've kind of seen her not as active as she once was. She obviously has a lot to do with because, Todd obviously had a pretty serious injury. I believe I'm not sure if he's still in the hospital or not, but, she's got a lot to deal with at home, and I don't know if that's going to be what I think she'd keep considerate. I think he's considering anyone, if I'm being completely honest with you. I think he's looking and weighing each option and how it could potentially enhance his campaign. That's why people like Cruz and people like any of the people that he ran against are not off the table, because he has to bring in a different group of people. He has to get that more traditional conservative vote, or he's in trouble. So Tom, I don't think I don't foresee Sarah Palin being the choice, but I doubt it hasn't come up in a meeting. I think they're open to anyone right now. And let's go ahead and take one more call, at least for right now, because I think some of these people, like Paul. I'm sorry, Paul. You've been hold 24 minutes. Paul from Oregon.
Hi.
You're on the air. Thanks, Paul.
Hi. Yeah, I think it's Kasich. He has some of the experience like Congress, and he's a governor. And also I also think that he could bring in Ohio, and that he stayed in long enough to detract the vote from Cruz just to kind of throw the ointment. So I don't know if there's something maybe in the background deal, because he just dropped that deal real quick with Cruz. And so I think there might be something funky going on there.
All right, let's hear from the man himself. This is Donald Trump. This is Byte 5 talking about his relationship with John Kasich.
I also saw something that you said about John Kasich.
Well, I've had a good relationship with him, and, you know, I really got along with him pretty well. I would say probably it's unlikely that it'll be John. I'm not sure that John even wants it, but I think it's unlikely that it'll be John. But his, you know, I do have a good view of him, and I do have a good opinion of him, but I think it's probably unlikely.
And he kind of, I'm not sure which came first, but there was other clips of him talking about it where he said, oh, yeah, I like John. We're friendly. We've been good. You know, he said good things about me. I've said good things about him. He's definitely someone I'd consider. So I wonder if he got back a note saying not interested, or if this is just part of the political game, which a lot of it is. You know, a lot of people are commenting. A lot of people are curious about who this could possibly be. Which bite do you want to go to? Well, I see you're talking about this. You want to go to another bite?
Bite 3 is actually the one you were kind of referencing a little bit with, where he mentions John Kasich. So let's go ahead and play that.
Some more from the presumptive nominee.
I'm starting to think about it very soon, and we'll be vetting people. You know, I'm going to set up a committee, and I may put Ben Carson on the committee. I may put Chris Christie on the committee. I've had a good relationship with John. I've gotten along with him well. But John, whether he's vice president or not, I think he'll be very, very helpful with Ohio.
Yep, and then we've also, obviously, he mentioned Chris Christie in there, another name that's come up. Doesn't really get you a state, but someone that a lot of us, you know, I think could see yourself rallying around a little bit. I don't know if Christie gets you as much, because Christie kind of has, look, before Donald Trump came into this, Chris Christie was the Donald Trump of the show. He was the one who was a little bit louder, had a little bit more to say. New Jersey. I, you know, personally thought he was fun, another person who was fun to watch in those debates, but I don't know if that's necessarily the best place. But if he's helping and Ben Carson's helping, you're hearing a lot of these people, that a lot of people are very respected. Look, I remember a lot of you saying, never Trump, I'm voting for Dr. Carson. Well, now Dr. Carson is a part of this man's you know, camp. So does that do anything for you? I'm curious of that, too. Does the fact that the vice presidential committee involve Dr. Ben Carson, does that cool your jets a little bit, make you feel better, or does it make you feel otherwise? I want to hear from you, 1-800-684-3110, or send it over to Will on Facebook and Periscope and let me know. All right, Mike in Wells, Maine, frequent caller, long-time listener.
Thanks for taking my call. Long-time
caller, Mike, you're on the air.
Great show today.
thanks.
I've got somebody in mind, probably that nobody's even talked about before, probably may not even be a possibility, but I think the winning combination would be Donald Trump and Maine's Governor Paul LePage. I don't know if you're familiar with him, but he is a very similar personality to Trump, very outspoken, very quick to react and to say things very bold and not afraid to step on toes. I think the two of them would be an excellent combination.
Look, Mike, I don't know, you know, too much about your governor there in Maine, but what I can say is, just because we haven't heard of that person doesn't mean they don't have a chance. How many of you knew the name Sarah Palin before she was chosen? I mean, the minute before she was chosen, how many of you knew that name? A lot of people didn't know Paul Ryan. A lot of people don't know, you know, he wasn't part of the whole, he wasn't out there running. So the more recent trend has been to not pick someone who is up there sharing the stage with you, because you don't have all that bickering back and forth. Now, I don't think that's what's going to happen here necessarily, Will.
And we do know that the Governor LePage in Maine has said that if he's not selected in some sort of fashion to be in a Donald Trump administration, that he will run against the sitting senator there in Maine, Angus King, in 2018. So I don't know if he's just aspirationally hoping for maybe something in an administration, but he is mentioning kind of those little themes, and also talking about running for Senate. So there's some interesting things there. Thanks for bringing that up, Mike.
Yeah, Mike, we'll take a look at that. I haven't considered that as an option. And a lot of you guys are throwing out names that are very familiar, but I like that Mike came in with a one that was less conventional, but could be more likely. Like I said, look at the last few choices. Paul Ryan before that. Sarah Palin. You know, these are names that Paul Ryan, you know, a lot of us were familiar with Paul Ryan. But go out, he'd been on the broadcast multiple times. You know, again, another friend of the show. But did you know, you know, Sarah Palin before? I don't think so. I don't think you knew that name. So, you know, I think that's an option we could see happening. And it'll be an exciting time. Look, it's exciting. If anything can be said, the networks are happy because it's going to be an entertaining few months. The ratings are high. Even I think Les Moonves from CBS said something effective. You know, I don't necessarily support Donald Trump, but I hope he wins because, you know, he's going to bring ratings that are going to be insane. I think we're still going to see that. You know, the history is continuing. I'm sure they were hoping for that contested convention because imagine the amount of people that were going to watch that. You know, usually I'm sure the conventions get decent ratings, but if it was a not sure who was going to be the presumptive nominee going in, whew, millions and millions of people have been watching on both sides. It's been a lot of fun. But fortunately or unfortunately, depending on where you land, that's not the case. Let's take one more call before we go to break. And the next segment is a rapid fire round. We're going to take as many comments as possible to wrap up this hour of Jay Sekulow Live. Thanks, y'all, for dealing with me today. Let's go to Susan, calling from my original hometown, my place of birth, Atlanta, Georgia. Susan, you're on the air.
A wonderful town. What are your thoughts on Condoleezza Rice as vice president?
This is a name getting thrown around a lot right now, and I'm not sure who's throwing it around. I think that's sort of one of the things. Is it coming from campaigns, or is it coming from wishful thinking? I threw that out to my wife yesterday, and she loved that idea. You know, that would have, I think, got her excited about what's happening. So Condoleezza Rice, obviously very well-respected, obviously very qualified to take that role. But she also has kind of her dream gig right now and is working as one of the people that picks, you know, we'll maybe explain the college football, you know, because they kind of got rid of the BCS and the way it runs.
NCAA, yep. National Championship, College Football Championship Selection Committee for the playoffs. She is on that. You know, she's a big Stanford Cardinal fan, and that's her alma mater. Yeah, but so something that does kind of come up in contrast with that is the fact that Donald Trump does keep saying he wants someone that has legislative experience. So it kind of seems like maybe he's leaning towards someone who's served in Congress or has that kind of ideas, but I don't think anything's off the table. She's more the executive branch knowledge of being Secretary of State and those kind of workings. So she would bring a little bit of a different skill set, I think, than what he's kind of forecast a little bit.
She said anything about Donald Trump? I don't know if there's any statements. We can look that up, see if there's any statements made by Condoleezza Rice about whether she supports, doesn't support Donald Trump or how she feels about him, because I think that could go a long way as well. All right, guys, we're going to head into this last segment of Jay Sekulow Live. We want you to be a member of the American Center for Law and Justice. You can do that easily. ACLJ.org. Just log over there. So much information. Our web team does such a good job putting together great news and reviews and blogs, everything you need. Right there on ACLJ.org. You can listen to the show every day, watch it there, be a part of the discussion, be a part of the conversation. ACLJ.org for all of that information. Again, 1-800-684-3110 to be on the show in the rapid fire round coming up now.
Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic, How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government.
When it comes to protecting your Christian beliefs and constitutional freedoms, the American Center for Law and Justice is at the forefront, in the courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. Now more than ever, you need the American Center for Law and Justice on your side. At the direction of Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow, the American Center for Law and Justice is countering organizations like the ACLU. The ACLJ has been called, quote, the leading advocacy group for religious freedom by one of the nation's most influential publications. Now you can make a difference. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ than right now. Declare your membership today. The ACLJ is dedicated to protecting your religious and your constitutional freedoms. Call now 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or online at aclj.org.
Jay Sekulow Live. Again, living in the mid-90s here on Jay Sekulow Live. A little Blues Traveler, a little Hook, great song. Whoa, the lights just came on if you're watching in studio. Oh, feels like a festive morning now on the Cinco de Mayo. Let's move forward, taking some calls as this rapid fire round continues. Jackie has a comment, very similar to the last one, but I still want to hear it, Jackie. Mesa, Arizona.
Hi.
You're online.
How are you, Jordan?
I'm great. I'm Logan, but it's okay. We sound very similar.
We have
the same voice. I typically actually have asked to just be called Jordan because no one would ever know. But Jackie, you're on the air. I'm doing well, though. Thank you. And Jordan's doing well.
Well, I was thinking Condoleezza Rice. I know you saw that.
Sure.
But also Jeanine Pirro. I mean, I'm not out, but I think a woman would be good for him to run with.
Yeah, I think that's probably smart. You know, when you have this situation where you have Hillary Clinton, who, look, regardless of how you feel, there's probably a large group of people that are kind of apolitical, don't really decide who they don't really have. They're not you. They're not the people calling into this broadcast who are engaged in a situation who see the chance at voting for the first woman president and may go for that because they want to be a part of history. And look, that would be a part of history, huge part of history. So can you circumvent that by having the first female vice president instead? And I think that helps. It's something you can do. Now, it didn't necessarily work for McCain. Didn't work for Cruz. But Cruz, that was kind of the Hail Mary attempt there at the very end. But I don't think that you're necessarily wrong. I would love to see a female as the option. But, and he needs it too, Donald Trump may, because of some of the rhetoric he said, whether some of it's true or exaggerated, but the presumption, the way he is taken is often as a not the strongest on, women's issues. So let's go ahead, though, and it is rapid-fire round, and we do have 5 calls in 6 minutes. Let's do what we can do. Grady is calling in San Antonio, Texas.
Yeah, Kasich, where are all the Christians when Kasich says on the debate that we could either pray or do something about it, and nobody catches it? He wants to take and
all right, Grady. All right, your connection was bad. You're calling from San Antonio, Texas, but maybe in a tornado, like Wild Bill, some of those things. What was that movie? That was a movie about that. I forget what it is. Tall Tales.
That's an old one.
Again, we're living in the 90s today. And Grady, here's my thoughts on that. The reason you didn't hear about it is because, let's just be frank, no one really cared. John Kasich didn't. He won one state. Right? One state?
His home state.
His
Ohio.
Home state that he's the governor mm-hmm. of. He won. So, yes, you may be right that he did say some rhetoric you may not agree with. Probably a lot of people didn't agree with it because he didn't come close. The only reason we talked about John Kasich for as long as we did is because he made us talk about John Kasich. That's just the truth. He was well under pretty much everyone else. Like they always says, he was in fourth and he was the last person to get out. And that says a lot there. Rubio still beats him. But, Will, did you have something to say about that?
Well, Grady did say to our call screener that he thought John Kasich was liberal, which was a little bit different than the comment
he said.
I did just want to bring up that the American Conservative Union, that kind of rates positions of people, actually gave John Kasich a 92% on conservative issues. So that's not what Grady ended up saying, but I did kind of want to dispel the myth that he may be a flaming liberal.
Yeah.
He does seem to be a pretty conservative guy.
Absolutely. And, could very well be your vice presidential pick. So we'll see. All right, let's keep going. Dennis in Crestview, Florida. Another lovely area. Dennis, you're on the air.
Yeah, good morning. My thoughts on Rubio are, no, I don't think he would do much good to help carry Florida with the snowbirds down south, which are typically Democrat. But I would lean a lot towards Alan West. I think he would be a good choice.
Now, Dennis, you're in the panhandle, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so we talked about this before. There is that split kind of in Florida. Now, Rubio did get not a great reception in Florida.
He only won his home county down in Miami.
So that says a lot. So, Dennis, I do tend to kind of side with you a little bit as a friend of Florida, as a former Floridian and someone who has a lot of friends in Florida. I definitely didn't see a huge burst of support for Marco Rubio. I saw more for Jeb Bush, to be honest, than I did for Marco Rubio, I feel like. But there is some South Florida that has that support of Rubio. But you're right, especially where you are in the country, that is not Rubio country and not an area. It's kind of Florida's interesting because it's set up as almost three states you know, Central Florida, South Florida, and the Panhandle, totally different. So we have to find someone who can reach. And maybe that's Rick Scott. Maybe that's someone who has been the governor, has been able to win the state multiple times. But we'll see. All right. 3 minutes, three calls. Let's go. Mindy in Atlanta, GA. Once again, Atlanta caller. You're on the air.
Hey, guys. I was just interested in what your thoughts would be about Cameron Kane as presidential candidate with Trump. I like Kasich, but I think another I think Trump needs to think about diversity, whether it's a woman or a person of color whatever it is.
Well, and, Mindy, I would say this. The only reason that I would say Herman Cain isn't necessarily a likely choice. Now, Herman Cain, obviously, is a radio show host there in the Atlanta area now, is because he is kind of saying he wants someone with political experience. And again, you'd be dealing with another successful businessman, and there's nothing wrong with that. But it doesn't really bring a lot to the table when it comes to that.
Yeah, Donald Trump actually said, I've got the business end kind of wrapped up, so I need military advisors and I need political advisors. So I think that while he may be an interesting choice, I don't really think that's what he's looking for to round out the ticket.
Yeah, I can't agree more. Let's go ahead. And Bill in Gettysburg.
I just wanted to say, I have some issues with people like George Will. I come from a very conservative family. At 8 years old, I passed out pamphlets for Barry Goldwater. And I've been a very faithful, I'm also a Christian, I'm a Lutheran pastor. And I've always voted the Republican ticket. I supported John McCain, even though he wasn't my first choice. I hesitantly voted for Mitt Romney, and I deeply regret that. But as a conservative Republican, I felt it, I looked at everything over, and I made a separation of church and state. But the thing is that bothers me is that all these folks like Will, they stayed home for George H.W. Bush, and who do we get? Clinton. They stayed home for McCain. We got Obama. They stayed home for Romney. We got Obama again.
Sure.
And my fear is if they do not support our current Trump, our presumptive nominee, we'll get Hillary Clinton.
Yes.
And I hope they feel satisfied with themselves, but there's the smugness.
Well, Bill, I don't want to cut you off just because we're running out of time. So do you support, will you be in the ballot box supporting Donald Trump this time?
Pardon me?
You think you'll be out there supporting Donald Trump this time?
I'll be out there supporting Donald Trump, Absolutely.
I think you're right to some extent is that our society, and the conservative society, I've noticed, and this comes with even the issues like abortion issues where they don't understand baby steps at all. You don't understand the issue of you have to get somewhere to get to the next spot. It's not just one or the other. It's not the perfect candidate. I'm not supporting Donald Trump or not supporting Donald Trump. We don't do that here on the broadcast. But there is that sense of, well, I don't like this person for this reason. I'm never going to vote for him. Well, if that person could still do better than the other person, it's not lesser of two evils at that point. To me, it's baby steps. There's a big difference. All right, last call. Quickly, Gilbert in L.A.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm good. You got just a few seconds. Go ahead.
Yeah, my first choice would be Marco Rubio, but then I was thinking Trey Gowdy would make an excellent VP. Do you think the Benghazi situation has to hold Kellen back from being chosen?
No, I'm not necessarily sure about that, Will. Do you have a comment on that?
I don't know if that would kind of affect it, but it could help. I do know that a lot of people on social media are echoing your comments
We're hearing all of a sudden, just how I feel like Condoleezza Rice came up the last few days, all of a sudden Trey Gowdy is the one we're hearing today. So, interesting time to be an American, folks. All right, that'll do it for today's broadcast. Again, ACLJ.org to get connected with everything we do. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Now you can make a difference. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ than right now. Declare your membership today. The ACLJ is dedicated to protecting your religious and your constitutional freedoms. Call now 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or online at aclj.org.